Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 9, day 1 of the study of 1 Corinthians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Corinthians 15, 1-11. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? God, speak to us. We want to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you're saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. So Paul's transitioning now from these messages of the spiritual gifts, and he's wanting to remind them of the foundational teaching of the gospel and just how important that is to their salvation. I mean, it's the very bedrock of their salvation. And he's telling them, listen, if you stray from this gospel, if you decide to not believe in this, or if you choose that there's some other foundation on which you stand, you believed in vain. All of these other things, it's all in vain. The gospel is the bedrock. It's the foundation of who we are. If you believe something other than Jesus died for your sins, he died to take away your sins and take away your punishment before God. If you believe something other than that, you believe in vain. It's of no value to you because it's not true. There's no truth in it. And so you gain nothing. You cannot, what Paul is telling them here is don't create a God in your own image. You have to go with the story that God has put forth to you. You cannot recreate this and create some variant of that. That happens today. It happened back then. People have a desire to create a God in their own image to suit themselves. That's what idols are about. Idols existed then in physical form. Idols exist now in physical form, and idols exist now in metaphorical form in our minds. We, as humans, as fallen humans, listen to the lies of the enemy, and we seek to create a God in our own image instead of worshiping the God who made us in his image. Verse 3, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and then he appeared to Cephas, or Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. So here Paul is giving them the briefest version, the briefest refresher course on the gospel, that Jesus, you know, died for our scriptures and or died for our sins, and the scriptures make it clear that he did so. That, you know, he actually, you know, took on physical form, that he was God made flesh, so that he had the ability to die for our sins. And then he appeals to this reality that there are witnesses, there are lots of people who encountered him after he rose from the dead. And that's one of the most important aspects of this, is if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then our faith has no teeth to it. There's no meat in it. Because if he's not raised from the dead, if he's not the firstborn of the dead, as scripture tells us, then, you know, we've got nothing. We've got nothing. There's no hope. There's just this life, and that's all there is to it. And it's a sad shame for us to believe in these things if he didn't raise from the dead. But there's over 500 some odd witnesses here that Paul is speaking to. And at the time of this writing, he's saying most of them are still alive. Like if you wanted to go into Jerusalem or wherever they are now and talk to them, they could tell you, like, there's no fake here. And so, and he finishes up talking about how he was abnormally born, because he encountered the risen Jesus. Although he didn't encounter him in the flesh, Jesus appeared to him in this visionary state. And so he's in somewhat humble fashion saying, I have been called an apostle. He's appeared to me and I have been called an apostle. Although I'm one abnormally born. Verse 9, he's going to get into his apostleship. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach. And this is what you believed. So Paul is saying, this is universal teaching amongst all the apostles. This is what we all say. This is the gospel message. This is the most important foundation of what all of us believe. And he's saying, I'm the least of the apostles. He's like, I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted these people before the Lord called me. I mean, Paul is understanding the irony of where he came from and where he is with this. But then he says, to some extent, you know, he's saying, I worked harder than all of them. I mean, Paul traveled a lot more of them as far as what we have on record, what we know about the apostles. The New Testament gives us very little information about most of the apostles, about what they did beyond the first few years after Jesus rose from the dead. We have a lot more information about Paul because Luke traveled with Paul, and we have the book of Acts. So we have a lot more information on him. And Paul worked hard. It doesn't mean that the other apostles didn't work hard, but Paul worked hard. But he makes the point that it wasn't even that I worked hard. It was that the Lord gave me the grace to do so. You know, oftentimes when we see someone with the zeal of Paul against the gospel and the Lord gets a hold of their heart by one way or another, we see that same level of zeal or even greater zeal when they latch on to the gospel. And then they believe in the salvation of their sins, when they believe that they've been redeemed, that zeal is magnified. You know, men like John Wesley were a lot like Paul, men who believed in God, but believed that you had to earn his favor by doing stuff. And when John Wesley was set free of that, he was already a well-known minister, preacher throughout England. But when he got a hold of that, it changed the world. It started a following of people that were hungry for what he had. And he changed Britain. He changed America through all of the outreaches and the things that he and the Methodists that rose up after him accomplished. It really did. It changed Britain and it changed America because one man who thought that you had to earn God's favor by doing good things got set free by the eternal gospel that Paul is preaching here. He got set free to understand this. By God's grace, we are saved. And then that zeal, coupled with that beautiful message, changed the face of the earth. And if we give ourselves to this, if we would understand the beauty and the power of the message of the cross, that a perfect God who owed us nothing died to take away our sins while we were yet in sin, while we were still rebellious sinners, he died for us to give us eternal life in his presence. We deserve none of that. And if all we ever received in this life was forgiveness of our sins, it'd be more than enough. But the Lord went so far beyond that. He gave us favor with God that we will live with him forever. He's given us gifts beyond imagination for all eternity if we believe in him. It's more than we deserve, and it's powerful. And the gospel has changed Paul. It changed the apostles. It changed the church of Corinth. It's changed me. I pray it's changed you. And I know if we share that gospel with those around us, it will change them too. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. And as always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes or share this if you listen on Stitcher or anywhere else that you listen. It really is one of the best ways to let other people know about the podcast, leaving the reviews and just sharing it. My heart is that people will listen to this and get a hunger for God's word. I want people to be hungry enough for God's word to read the book that we go through 10 times in 10 weeks so that they fill their minds. I want you filling your mind with God's word, and it will fill your heart. Read it over and over and over again. It will fill you up. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.